I had asked Brother Jim what he'd been speaking on, and he said he'd been teaching on Job. And some of you, I usually speak on Sunday night, and Bill speaks on Sunday morning, but I got to talking to David, and David said maybe we could swap. And so I feel like Job for the last 2 years since Bill took this position. I was viciously attacked when my body was very tired with shingles and Bell's palsy, and the right side of my face was paralyzed. And then just about 2.5 months ago, I had some surgery on my right eye, some major surgery, about 50 stitches in my head. And while we were at WMF, about 60 of our people came down with some kind of airborne stuff, in which I had overdone. And so God has done a miracle getting me here today. I have really interceded and believed God that he would strengthen me for today, so that I could speak to you, because there's some things that are heavy on my heart. And sometimes I don't know if you know the frustration of ministry, because you have these things on your heart that are tugging at you and have to do with the calling that you have, and you want to get those things out. And sometimes I see the desperation of ministers saying, how much do I deposit in people? How much do I tell them? So I believe the Holy Spirit will have his way today, and that I will give to you what God wants you to have today. Let's bow our heads before I begin to share, and let's just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to just inhabit us today. Father, we just come to you in the lovely name of Jesus. We submit ourselves totally to you today, spirit, soul, and body, Lord God. God, we want you to be glorified in this place, not just through me, but through all of us, Lord God. God, we wouldn't be in this place today if our desire was not to glorify you and to do that which we've been called to do, Lord God. God, I just commit this time to you. Hide us behind the cross. And Father, let the words we speak be spirit, and let them be life to the hearer. Father, give the people the ears to hear and the eyes to see today, because we know that the hour is crucial. The hour is now. And Father, we must take advantage of the window of time that you have given us, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For our sister who's 90 and our sister who's 85 over there, right before this attack came against my body, for about 10 years I had prayed. For about 10 years I had prayed, and I had asked God to let Bill and I be here when Jesus comes, and to let Bill and I be here when revival hits America. I believe that revival is in America. We don't yet see it, but I believe that it's here. And I have been praying that way, and I said, Lord, you let Simeon and Anna hold the Christ child and pray over the Christ child, and they were of years. And so, Lord, I ask that you extend Bill and I's life, and you allow us to be here. Well, the day after I prayed that once again was when the attack came. And I believe that the enemy was contesting what I had prayed. But there was a prophet of God in a church, an all-African church that we went to, and that we had spoken a conference. And the brother, right in the middle of a sentence, stopped, and he said, Sister Mary, the thing that you prayed for, you will have, and you will see revival in America. And I believe that God has saved the best for last. I believe that we are God's best. And I believe that we're going to walk the walk, talk the talk, we're going to pass the test, and we're going to be the church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. I truly believe that. And I was meditating on something this morning, and when 9/11/01 happened, that was a shocking thing to us, wasn't it? It was a shocking thing to us. And that very day, God gave me some scripture, and I came across this. And before I get into my message, I want to give you some scripture that will encourage you. It's out of Proverbs 16, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits, or he weighs the thoughts and intents of the heart. Roll your work upon the Lord. Commit and trust him wholly, them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. So our thoughts need to become agreeable with His will. I love what the brother said this morning. You know, that's not always our desire. We want our own way many times. But anyway, your thoughts to become agreeable to His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. But verse 4 is the verse that God gave me when 9/11 happened, and when our country was shaken by 9/11. And heard an African brother say that we as Americans did not realize the blood sacrifice that happened at that time. It was not a good blood sacrifice, but an evil blood sacrifice. And if you have not noticed the things that were unleashed on our country that are manifesting today from that incident. But here's the scripture. The Lord has made everything to accommodate itself and contribute to its own end and His own purpose. Even the wicked are fitted for their role for the day of calamity and evil. Everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it, He will not go unpunished. But always in the scriptures that I've noticed, I went over and over in the scriptures, and we're reading them this morning at 5 o'clock. Always when judgment is passed on the people of wickedness and the people of God, there's always mercy that comes after that. God always says, if we repent, if we get to give our hearts to God and we submit our will to Him, it says here, by mercy and love, truth and infidelity to God and man, not by sacrificial offerings, iniquity is purged out of the heart, and by the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord, men depart and avoid evil. And praise God, this is a day that we have to decisively avoid evil. It's not easy today to avoid evil. But anyway, I was thinking on that, and I was thinking about what is happening today. And these might be laughable to you, but I was listening to the news the other day, and they were telling us that the bottled water that we drink is actually water out of the tap. That we're paying $1, $1.15, or $1.20 at convenience stores for a cold bottle of water that we think is purified. But it's actually, they were saying that most of the water that's bottled today in bottles, like I have here today, this Ozarka, we're drinking it because it says it's spring water from Arkansas, I think. But they're telling us now that this water that we're buying as purified water is actually coming out of the tap. And I don't know if these things alarm you, but it tells you some of the standards and some of the things that are going on in our world that are unbelievable. And another thing was the killing, and I don't know if you even had read that or heard it on the news today. They're still talking on it, and I saw the doctor that lost his wife and the two daughters. Do y'all know about that news this week? Well, they're telling that it will take a year and a half to process the men that they know that killed and tortured this family. And they even went to the wrong family thinking they were going to a judge's home and went to a doctor's home. And when I hear these things, I don't know what happens to you, but there's an anger in me that wants to say, God, there's enough of this. Righteousness should begin to rule. And then my husband was saying that after a year and a half and they're convicted, well, then they can appeal. And you know what? We're paying for all of this crime. Do you realize it, people? We're paying for all the crime that's coming forth. And there's another thing. I think it was when, these are just some intros to what I'm going to get into and tell you this is where the world is, and I'm going to tell you where I believe we are as the body of Christ. Right at the first of President Bush's election, I think it was only in one paper that it came out that it showed the four central electrical systems for the United States, I believe it was. And they were talking about those electrical systems are so overloaded and so antiquated that our electricity is at jeopardy because they have not remodeled or brought those up to standard since all of the computer age and all the other electrical stuff has come into our society. And just two or three weeks ago, I think it was in New York, that about 80,000 people were without electricity, and there was no reason. They just said there was a blackout. And so we are in a critical time in our society. And unless we stay under the umbrella of God and in the presence of God, I can understand why our sister says she wants to go, you know? Because some of the things that we're facing, listen, we don't have control over anything. But God is in control. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the adversities are in your life, and there's probably not a one of you out there that are not facing some kind of crisis in your life. And I tell people, if you're not facing a crisis, you're backslid. You're not doing anything for God. Because the enemy has targeted those people that are going for God, that are going on with God, that hear the voice of God. Those are the people that are being targeted by the enemy. His greatest goal is to get us to turn our back on God and to decide that God is not there for us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Those are just a couple of two or three things, and I'm sure if I asked the audience, you could think of some things that you had read and heard in the newspaper that to me are alarming, and they're senseless, and they're stupid. Our laws aid and abet the criminal, not the law-abiding citizen. If a policeman defends himself or defends the law, he's put on probation. And I don't know about you, but some of these things anger me. Because our society is so messed up. And it's time that the Church of the Living God rise up and declare who they are and say that Jesus is Lord. And I believe that we're in this time frame. If I would title what I'm going to speak on today, I would say the title of my sermon would be, Why Have You Made Me Like This? That's a question that I ask God. Why have you made me like this? Have you ever asked God that? Have there ever been some things about you you didn't like and say, oh God, you could have done this better? Yes. And I've asked the Lord that question. And I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures and then I'll tell you my main scripture reference and you can turn over to it. But in Proverbs 17:3, it says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold. And I know that God talked to us about that because women like silver and gold, and that's what we consider a treasure in our society. But the Lord tests the hearts, and he tries the hearts. In Jeremiah 17:10, it says, I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doing. And I sometimes, during all of this that I've been going through, I have been asking the Lord and analyzing and looking at myself. And there was areas that I found that I was not tolerant. There was areas that I found that I needed to be worked on in the area of patience. And we are a society that we want patience, but we want it right now. Lord, we want you to do it the way we want it done. You know, and when I started going through the trial with my face and lots of pain, and then I went through the surgery and a lot more pain, you know, I talked to the Lord. But I began to realize that God was working in my character a far better thing, and that what I was going through was very minute compared to what God was doing in my spirit man. And so I began to realize that, Lord, it'll be easier if I don't fight against the pricks, if I allow you to do in me what you want to do. And, you know, above all else, our desire should be to fulfill our assignment, number one, whatever God has called us to do. And it doesn't matter who we are. If we belong to God, God has a plan and a purpose for us. And sister, instead of wanting to go and thinking about how old you are, you say, okay, God, what have you got left for me to do? Who is it that you want me to minister to? Who is it that you want me to lead to Jesus? What have you got for me to do? You know, that's what I keep asking God. I want to fulfill my assignment. To me, that would be the saddest thing for me to have lived and not to fulfill and not to have done what God wanted me to do. And I think it would be the saddest thing for you to go through life and never find out who you are or what God has called you to do and be. And you know, once we've come to Jesus, most of us don't realize it, but our life is no longer our own. We've been bought with a price through the blood of Jesus. And so if we're wise, we give our will and all that we are to Him. And that's what God's been telling me about the last couple of years. And I want to exhort you today, you might want to write this down, to honor what God has chosen you to be. Find out what He wants you to be and honor that. Don't despise who you are, but honor who you are. You know, God didn't make any mistakes when He made you. And you're not an accident. You're here because God divinely inspired it to be so. And so, you know, when I realized that, I realized there was something worthwhile in me that if I gave it to God, He could use it for His glory. And each one of you out there, you've got something in you that God can use for His glory. And whatever you're going through, just, I have never heard Brother Jim or Sister Peggy ever be down. And I've never heard them talk about any trials or anything they've gone through. And I know they didn't get this far just by faith. They had to walk through some things, you know. But they're always praising. They found out the secret. When you want God's attention and you want to get Him on your team, you begin to worship and praise Him. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. And too many times, and I can say this for myself, that what I've just walked through the last 2.5 years, because there was a lot of pain in it. And I did not want to praise God. And I did not want to thank God for what I was walking through. And I couldn't see how that God could get any glory out of this. But I want to tell you something. God has done a work in my heart. And he had made me see some things that I would have never seen. And a month after I had this attack, I went and spoke. And my mouth was so paralyzed, and my eye was in such a bad shape, that I said, Lord, and I was on so many meds, I said, Lord, if there's anything good comes out of this, it'll be a miracle. Well, we had a miracle. We had a miracle. We had about 8 people saved. We had about 7 or 8 people filled with the Spirit. We had a lady that was delivered from homosexuality. And I prophesied to about 65 ladies. Never done that in my life before. But you see, when you have to totally lean on God, we found out how great He is and how all that He needs is just a yielded vessel. That's all He needs, is for us just to yield our will to His will. And I found out many times, instead of trusting God through what I was walking through, I would pick it up and take over. You know how we are? We want to fix it, don't we? Especially women and especially mothers. I'm the mother of 4. We know how to take over, don't we? Well, you know, it didn't take us very long after we take over to find out we made a mistake. That God was doing better than we were doing, you know. And so try to realize that if you won't take over and you'll yield to God, that's the hardest thing that we have to learn, is to yield our will to His will. And listen, folks, we don't have much time. There is a desperation in the spirit inside of me that I know that the church of the living God has got to rise up. They've got to rise up and be what God has called them to be. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to be what God called us to be. It's easier not to fight. It's easier not to war. It's easier not to get in the battle. It's better when we're in a resting place in Kadesh Barnea, so we can just not get into anything. But you know what? As long as you're a child of the Most High God, you're going to be in warfare. That's just part of the territory of being a child of the King. And listen, the further we go and the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the greater the battle is going to be. So you might as well suck in your gut, yeah, and shore up and use the Word of God as a sword against the enemy. One of the times when I was going through all this just recently, when I had the surgery, and I had about 50 stitches, 40 to 50 stitches in my head. And one night, I was at my daughter's, and I had an allergic reaction to the medicine that I was taking. And usually, you know, they give Benadryl to kind of counteract that. Well, all the Benadryl did was just add to what was already happening to me. And I literally thought, and I'm telling you this not to glorify the enemy, but to glorify God, okay? Because I know some of you out there today are struggling. And if you know that others are walking through rough places, it'll be easier for you to walk through and know that you can overcome. But anyway, it literally felt like that every demon in hell had been released against my mind to take my mind. And of course, you're under drugs, so you're not your total self. Well, I resorted to the one thing that I knew would deliver me. And I started quoting the word of God that I knew. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And my testimony is that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I began to quote the word, if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And I just kept quoting and quoting and quoting the word, and I was yelling it. And I was in my daughter's house, and they were all standing there. But you know what? When you're in a warfare, other people can war with you. But basically, when the rubber hits the road, you have to win the victory. Somebody else can't win it for you. You have to know who you are in Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know something. The proof is in the pudding. I won the battle because I'm here. But that night, God was so good. He never leaves us where we were. He always takes us to a better place. And so what happened was that when I went to sleep that night, I had a dream. And this should comfort you, because it wasn't just for me. It was so that I would tell others. I had a dream of a group of people that I could see, and I knew in that group that I knew people. I didn't see their faces or anything, but I knew they were people that I knew that perhaps were having some of the same warfare that I was having. And I saw the angels of God over each person, maybe 10 or 12 angels. And I know that I've told you this here before. If all the Bible theologians have got their numbers corrected, we each have 15 to 18,000 angels assigned to each one of us individually to come to our aid, to help us. And we need to put those angels on assignment. But anyway, in this dream, these angels, and I may have to let Brother Bill hold the mic, but these angels, their wings were all spread, and they were plaited together, and they made like a tabernacle or a covering over each person. Each person had enough angels that just made a tent over each one of them. And God said, that's the way that I protect my children. And it was like I could see the angels of God. They were just garrisoned round about me, and they made a shelter for me to hide in. And so that was one of the encounters that I had with God while I was walking through this place. And usually I never dream, but it has not been but about 6 or 8 weeks ago that I had another dream where God in this dream was dealing and cleansing and working with a certain individual, and it was just a type and shadow for what he was showing me at the end. But God said, Mary, I'm about to pour the spirit of prophecy once again on the church. And he said that people will come in and they will begin to prophesy in clarity and in pureness. And in this dream that I had, there were people that wanted to get on center stage and be seen, but the Spirit of God restrained them. Only the people prophesied were the ones that had been cleansed and purified. There weren't people getting up there prophesying out of their own spirit, but they were prophesying the anointed word of God. And even almost before they got it out of their mouth, God had already set in motion what they had spoke, and it was beginning to come to pass. Now, I think that's what we're going to see in the church to come. We're going to see pure prophecy. We're going to see anointed prophecy. We're going to see miracles and signs and wonders. And I believe that we can expect angelic visitations. You start praying that God give you dreams, that God allow you to see angels. And they are there for the heirs of salvation to minister to us. And I think sometimes we don't appropriate what we have because we don't know what we have. Let's turn over now and let me get into this real quickly, into Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And you know this well. But this is where I prophetically believe that we as a church are today. And when you said you'd been talking about Job, I can identify, because I believe that some of us were marred I believe I was marred and had some flaws in my character that I had not seen. And that through what I've walked through, God began to deal with me about those areas of intolerance, of pride, of vanity, and all the things that we as humans have to face every day. And, you know, we can't sit there and say, well, I don't have to deal with those things. Yes, you do. You're no different from me. You have to deal with all those things. One of the things that God really zeroed in on me was intolerance of others. Sometimes we think we're so spiritual, we're not any good. You know, we look at others and we judge them. But let's read this scripture. Starting the word Jeremiah from the Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at the wheel. And the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter." And I can identify with this, and I don't think that I'm any different from some of you. I realized that I was not the vessel that God wanted me to be. And that in order for him to make me what he wanted me to be, he was going to crush me, break me, and change me. And you know something? I can truthfully stand up here today and say it was worth it. I can say, thank you, God, that you love me enough that you dealt with my character. You know, if we have obvious sins in our life, we'll deal with those. But a lot of times we have some unobvious, unknowing things. And it wasn't that I didn't search my heart every day. I guess I just was not ready for God to take me a step higher just yet. But you know what? He knows just how to get us there, doesn't he? "And the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it over, reworking it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." And there's a key there. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Not the vessel, but to the potter. And I'm going to skip down, and it says, "Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." And I know that God's talking to Israel here, and I think it was neat that you were talking about that this morning. But, you know, we need to become clay in the potter's hand, in the master's hand. And we need to be willing to let him mold us. And we pray that prayer. I prayed it, and I know you've prayed it. I prayed, "Lord, mold me and make me into what you want me to be." You know, we don't know what we're asking when we say that. And I didn't see, and let me tell you what was so good about all this. I didn't feel condemned. I felt convicted that I had not seen some of the things that God wanted to do in my life sooner. But you know what? It's never too late. God began to tell me, "Mary, don't think of yourself as old, but think of yourself as a seasoned woman." Sister Jo and this sister over here, we need seasoned men and women of God that have walked through the fire, that have walked through the furnace, and they've come out on the other side, and they still love Jesus, and they're still walking with Jesus. And that's, you're a blessing just being here. Just seeing this woman has walked with God, and she's 90 years old. She walks in smiling. You can see Jesus in her. Let's turn to Romans 9:20. "For the creation..." Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong chapter here. Hold on a second. Got to turn one more page, okay? Okay, Romans 9:20 in the Amplified says, "But who are you, a mere man, to criticize and contradict and answer back to God? Will what is formed say to him that formed it, 'Why have you made me thus?' Or 'Why have you made me like this?'" And many times I've asked God, "Why have you made me like this? Couldn't you have done a better job in this area or this area?" Have any of you ever asked God that? Or have you ever wondered why God made you the way you were? Well, you know what? If we allow God to take us and use us, and we submit our will to his will, then however he made us is good. God is a good God. He didn't make a mistake when he made you and when he made you. When he made me, he didn't make a mistake. And God doesn't cause the evil that comes in our life. But while I was going through this, I got up one morning And this was about 2 weeks before I had the surgery. And I got up one morning, and the scripture kept rolling over and over in my head. All things work to the good of them that love the Lord, and they are called according to his purpose. And that just kept rolling and rolling. About 15 times I kept quoting this. All things work to the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And the Spirit of God stopped me, and he said, Mary, all things are not good, but when you belong to me, they work to your good. Well, that very day, little did I know, I'd been having trouble with a tooth. And that was when I came over here and spoke for the WMF thing. I had a tooth that had abscessed, and I was going to be in the dental chair in about 3 or 4 hours, and little did I know, he thought it was just going to be a simple extraction, and I ended up being in the chair somewhere about 3 hours, and they had to grind the tooth out piece by piece by piece. Well, no, all things didn't work to my good. At that time, it didn't seem like it. It was not good, but it did work to my good, because I couldn't have gone into surgery with an abscessed tooth. And God knows how to work out things in our life. So when you face things that seem bad at the time, just know that the steps of a righteous man and a righteous woman are ordered of God. God knows everything that's happening to you right now. And no, maybe God didn't cause those things to happen to you. A lot of things that happen to us, we do them to ourselves. We can't even give Satan as much power. We give him far more power than he has. A lot of them we just do to ourselves because we won't hear the Lord's voice. We won't adhere to his wisdom, and we won't seek his wisdom. We seek to do our own thing. Okay. Okay, I'll go back to 20, but who are you, a mere man, to criticize and contradict and answer back to God? Will what his form say to him that formed it? Why have you made me thus? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same mess or lump one vessel for beauty and distinction and honorable use and another for menial or ignorable and dishonorable use? And I want you to see here what God says after this. We can choose where we're going to be a vessel to honor or a vessel to dishonor. It's our choice. Everything in life is our choice. We can choose to serve God or choose not to serve God. We can choose to submit our will to God or not to submit our will to God. And let me tell you something. Every time I did not submit my will to God, I paid a price. And I bet you anybody else here that's walked with God anytime would say the same thing. Verse 22, what if God, although fully intending to show the awfulness of his wrath and to make known his power and authority, has tolerated with much patience the vessels or the objects of his anger, which are ripe for destruction? And it goes on down in 23, and he says this, and what if he thus purposes to make known and show the wealth of his glory in dealing with the vessels or the objects of his mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? And I choose to believe that God beforehand had purposed to prepare me for his glory and you for his glory. I believe that God has a group of people that he is raising up in this church and other churches that have purposed that they want to be raised up for God's glory. They want God's will and not their will. They want God's way and not their way. And you know, it's a choice that we make, and we don't have a lot of time, people, to decide if we're going to be pure and holy. And I know that there's a lot being said about purity and cleansing, and that's basically what God's been doing to me the last 2 years. He's been purifying me and cleansing me and taking me to a higher level. God isolated me from people so that I could be alone with him. And I'd like to challenge you today and ask you today, have you been spending time with God? And if you've been spending time with God, God would have been speaking to you. And God talks a lot if we listen. Sometimes it's hard for us to listen because we have so much we want to tell God. We want to tell him how we hurt and how we're suffering and how we're in pain and what he ought to do. But all along, he knows exactly what needs to be done. And if we can find the secret that Brother Jim has found and that others have found, that when we praise God, we get his attention. When we begin to praise and worship him in the midst of trials and conflicts, we get his attention, don't we? That's when God comes to our aid. But it takes us a long time sometimes, doesn't it, to realize that what we need to do is praise him and thank him for right where we are, even though it's very distasteful to our flesh. And you know, I would not have chosen this for me. And I was caught totally off guard. But God knows every area of our makeup. And he knows exactly what we need. And those things that he allows to come across our path are only for our good, to make us more glorious and more aware of who he is. And I praise him and thank him. I thank him for everything that I've ever walked through, because it's made me who I am today. And I want you to begin to praise and to worship God for right where you are right now, because God is preparing you for his glory. He's preparing you for his glory. He's going to put you on display to the world. And if you hadn't walked through some fire, and if you hadn't walked through some furnaces, and you hadn't walked through some trials and some tribulations, then without a test, there is no testimony. And so praise God for where you are today. And I've got news for you. According to the word of God and according to the Spirit of God, you're going to make it if you keep pressing in and you don't look back. Don't look back, only look forward to the glory that is before you. We serve a good God. We serve a good God that loves us. Why God has made you like you are is because he saw something in you that he could use for his kingdom. And so do not despise who you are, but begin to honor who you are. Honor who God made you. Honor the talents that he's given you. Don't desire to be like somebody else. God only needs one Bill Hughes. He only needs one Mary Hughes. He only needs one Brother Jim and one Sister Peggy. He doesn't need anybody like us. Yes, you may can learn some things from us, but we can also learn some things from you. But honor who you are and who God made you and the talents that he's given you, and say, God, come inside me with the Holy Spirit and examine me and show me the areas that I can do greater things for you. Show me the areas that I can glorify you more. And most of all, Lord, help me to be humble in your sight. And I believe that's where we are today. I believe that some of the things that we're going through, some of the pressures and some of the places and some of the people that we've encountered in the position that Bill is in, I think, oh God, how are those people? There's one lady I've been praying for that's believing God for a kidney and a pancreas transplant. And I think sometimes, oh God, when are we going to begin to get to the place that we love our brothers and sisters enough that we're going to intercede, that we're going to have the power to see that come to pass, and that we're not going to lose them to death and destruction, but we're going to see them delivered from the hand of the enemy. Folks, we need to become desperate for God, desperate to please him, desperate to see others healed and delivered and set free. We need to love our neighbor as we would love ourselves. We need to love them so much that we go out into the highways and the hedges and tell them to come in, that we serve a mighty God. But listen, we've got to put God on display, and we have to prove what God has to prove through us to the world, that he is real. And you know what? They only see the defeats. I was listening to yesterday to Tammy Faye Baker's Messner's. They had, how many of y'all saw that on TV? See, she had believed, she had three bouts, I think it was, with cancer. And she had believed right up to her death that God was going to heal her and deliver her. And I thought, devil, you think you've won, because she got on TV and testified to that. That she believed, and she was standing believing God to deliver her and heal her from cancer. But all of the stuff that they showed of her life, all she was ever doing was preaching and telling people that God was real and God could save and God could deliver, and no matter what circumstances they were in, that God was there for them. And so more and more of her testimony is now going on. And what Satan thought that he had shut down is going forth even more and more. And one of the things that she pointed out, she said, even though that she could not be on television, I didn't know this, but I think that she and Jim Baker helped establish 3 television networks. And when all of that came down, God spoke to me. When Jim Baker went into prison, he said, Mary, his greatest days are ahead. His greatest days are ahead, and I believe that. He's gotten back on his feet, and he's doing mighty things for God. And let me tell you something. You don't ever count these people out. God has a plan, and God has a purpose. And maybe sometimes it looks like they're defeated and they're getting off track, but know one thing, that if they cleave to God and run back to God and repent, if needs be, then God will use them for his glory and his honor and his praise. And let's don't be any of those that would criticize those that fall. Let's pray for them. But some of the people that I see that are going through things today, I think, dear God, what we've walked through is nothing compared to some of what other people are walking through. But I believe that if we turn our hearts totally and completely to God, that he's going to be glorified in us and in the church. And one last thing I'd like to say is that recently, as Bill and I have traveled, don't you ever think that the Church of Jesus Christ is dead, or that it's dissipating, or that it's defeated. We witness a lot when we go into restaurants and we talk to young people, and there is revival all over this land. Probably 99% of the young people that we ask, we don't ask them if they're Christians. We don't ask them if they go to church. We go right to the heart. We say, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And I'd say almost without fail, 95 to 99% of the young people that we ask do know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They're either working to go to college. They all have a goal and a plan. They know where they're going. And they're not the mixed up, confused generation that Satan is propelling them to be or showing them to be on television. We have a generation that is hungry for God between 18 and 30 years old. Most of them are like in the 20-year-old brackets. And they are hungered and thirsting for God. And revelation knowledge is pouring through and out of them like nothing I've ever seen before in my life. And so the church is not dead, folks. It's alive. And God, through you and other people, is raising up a righteous group of people that are going to stand up and say, I do know my God. I will do exploits in his name. And I will glorify him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and thank you that in the midst of controversy, in the midst of all that the world portrays, Lord God, the bad that we see, Lord God, you are raising up a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or anything, any such thing. God, you're raising up a people, Lord God, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're raising up a people that desire to please you, that desire to glorify you, that desire to lift you up. Father, we ask today that you stir our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. Stir our innermost being by your Spirit, Lord God. Stir us, Lord God. Convict us, Lord God. Draw us by your Spirit, God. Change us. Mold us. Make us into what you want us to be, Lord God. We know, Lord God, unless you do it, Lord God, we are nothing. We cannot glorify you unless you work through us, Lord God. God, we ask, Lord God, that you use us in these last days. I want you to stand to your feet in a commitment to God that you are willing for him to use you, that you're willing for him to mold you. Don't stand if you're not willing. That you're willing for him to mold you and make you into what he wants you to be, that you will be clay in the potter's hands, that you will be clay in the potter's hands, that you will not resist And you know what? That potter had to take that clay and crush it and break it and remake it because it was marred. And some of us are marred today in our spirit. There are things that God has dealt with us to let go in our life of. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's intolerance of others. Maybe it's vanity. In my case, God dealt with me about vanity. Whatever God is dealing with you about, surrender that to God and say, God, with your help, I'm going to lay it aside. I'm going to lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset me. I'm going to lay aside those things that are displeasing to you. And if you have the Spirit of God within you, you're going to know those things in your life that are displeasing to God. Some of you are not spending enough time in the presence of God. Some of you are not spending quality prayer time. Some of you are not spending quality time in the Word. And I want to tell you something. If I had not spent quality time in the Word, when the enemy come in like a flood against me, I would not have been able to resist him. And let me tell you something. If the enemy has targeted you today, and you're walking through an adverse and a distasteful place, if he's targeted you, it's because he sees your potential for God. And he's trying to block the path. He's trying to stop what you're going to be for God, for the glory that you're going to bring to the kingdom of God. And you know, this morning, ask yourself, where else could you run but to God? Where else could you run but to God? He's the one that delivers. He's the one that sets free. He's the one that gave his son Jesus that we might have eternal life. Father God, we just plead the blood of Jesus right now over each and every one of these saints. We pray divine protection and divine watch care over them today. Father, we break any curses that have been spoken or written over them today. Even curses they may have spoken over themselves unknowingly, Lord God. We break those curses right now. We say that God's people have favor with God and with man, wherever they go, that they are favored by God and that the favor of God is upon them. We speak favor upon this people in Jesus' name. We say that sickness and disease are far from them, that they're under the protective wing and shelter of God, that the angels of God are watching over them, that the angels have been sent as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Father, help us to use that which you've given us for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Before I hand the microphone back to Brother Jim, I want you, right where you are, just to begin to search your heart. Those things that are in your heart that you know are not right with God, I want you to ask God right now to deliver you and set you free from those things. Right where you are, no person has to lay hands on you. God can lay hands on you right where you are. Ask him to deliver you and cleanse your heart from anything in your heart that is displeasing to him. I want you to walk out of here today determined that you're an instrument of God and that you were raised up to bring him glory and bring him honor and bring him praise. Let's begin to praise and worship God right now. Lord, we praise you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for the place that we're walking in right now, Lord God. For God, we thank you that you're not going to leave us where we are, but you're going to take us to a higher place in you, Lord God. God, we thank you for the testings and for the trials. We thank you that you account us to worthy to suffer with you and to walk with you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Is the praise and worship leader still here? Is he still here? You know that first song that you did? I was singing it this morning on the way to church about the Lord is a strong tower. Can you do that again? And let's just worship the Lord just for a minute, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Jim.